I just thank everyone here today for worshiping together. We've already been praising God for those who've given us a word from God, for those who've sung with your voices. It's been great. And it is a great day. And it is a special great day because all around the world, we're celebrating. We're celebrating the risen Christ. And as we've sung song after song after song today, we're reminded that Jesus is alive. And so with many, many Christians around the world, we're going to say this back and forth to each other where I'm going to say Christ is risen, and you're going to say he is risen indeed, okay? We're going to do it just like that. And sometimes, you know, that's what I noticed with you, Katrina, they need a little coaching, see? A little coaching is going to help. So this is what we're going to do. And so it's going to go like this. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. It's good news. It's good news. Today, we're going to talk about resurrection power. I want to start by telling a story. When I was, I had two sons, and I was working with the college ministry at the Highland Church of Christ. And they were 3, 4, 5 years old, 3 and 4. They're a year apart, 11 months apart. And one of my jobs was to take the donuts. And this was my job every Sunday. I would take the donuts. But also every Sunday, this would happen, we would take communion, just very similar to how we do it now. And my 3 and 4 year old boys were very interested in what was being passed. They wanted some of that. Especially, they wanted the juice. I don't know if you've ever had trouble with a 3-year-old who wanted the juice. But I had trouble with my boys. And so my wife and I would try the arm bar. You know, y'all have tried the arm bar? Just give them this right here, right across. Hold them down. My boys, that didn't work. The arm bar didn't work. And so we're struggling kind of through. And one day at the donut shop, we're stopped at the donut shop, getting our donuts, getting ready to take them to class. Bing! Idea. Ching, ching, ching. So what I thought is this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put an X. I'm going to write a mark in their hand, an X. And I told them a little bit about, you know, why we do communion. Because Jesus died. And he was crucified. And nail went in his hand. They're listening, kind of, sort of, you know, as a 3 and 4 year old would. And I wrote the cross and said, so when we pass the juice, I want you to look down at that cross, that X that's in your hand. And see, my strategy was not so much that they would think anything except for they would be distracted, right? For a moment, they're going to look down and whew, we get the juice, whew, buy them, armbar. Well, so we passing out the juice. And here it comes, and I kind of not, you know, poke them and get their mind, and okay. And so they're looking, and my youngest son, unfazed, he could look at the cross and reach for the juice at the same time. Not a problem. It didn't stop him at all. But my 4-year-old, he's looking down at that X in his hand, and he's rubbing on that X. And I look at his face, and he's got this really serious look on his face. He's rubbing his palm. And it just washes over me, this thought. He's not thinking about Jesus. He's thinking about what it would be like if a spike went through his own hand. And so then it just washed over me. I'm his dad. He is the joy of my life. I would never let a spike go through my son's hand, ever. I think of what I would do to stop that from happening. It wouldn't matter if you were in my way, nothing would stop me from stopping that from happening. And then it washed over me again. This is the choice God made, that he would let his son experience that for me. And so, you know, I've already understood the death of Jesus, the sacrifice. I'm an adult. But for the first time, really, it hit me that a person died for me. It wasn't a doctrine that died for me. It wasn't a way of life that died for me. It was a person. It was a son. It was the king who stepped down off the throne and let himself die because he loved me. And I thought, I never loved anybody that much, ever. And the love of God just came over me. And so, because it's Easter, and we're talking about the death and the resurrection of Jesus, I could say right now, here's what happened. Jesus lived, he died, and he was raised, and we are saved. Let's go eat. But you know me. That ain't going to happen. What do you think? What are you laughing at there, Pam? There's something else I want us to get from today, and it is the idea of resurrection power. And so we've been hard at the ending of the book of Ephesians. I want to jump back to the beginning. And if you have a Bible, we're going to look at Ephesians 1, 5, 15 to 23. This is a prayer. Paul has two great prayers. The other one's a little more famous. But he has two great prayers in Ephesians because there's something besides, and you know, heaven is going to be great. Can we say amen? I'm looking forward to getting there. I'm believing hair is going to happen in heaven because God's going to make all things new. So, Kevin, we're on our way, baby. It's going to be good. But more than that, it's going to be joy. It's going to be great. But, okay, there's more that God wants for you today. Today. Because he raised Jesus from the dead, and he says that power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you to make this life today something better. Okay, so we're going to read. He says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all his people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that he may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better." And this is what I'm praying for you guys. I'm praying this for me. That right now, Michelle and Rachel, we're all, and Betty even, who already knows God. She's been knowing him for a long time. But that you'll have a spirit of revelation, okay, and wisdom, and you're going to know him better. No matter how well or not well you know God, I'm praying that you get a spirit that you're going to know him better. How many of you in here could use a little better understanding of God? Yeah, well, the rest of you, I guess you already know him well enough. That's good, God, I got it. So I'm praying that you know him better. But then he says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened." Just think of that phrase. You got eyes in your heart? What are the eyes of your heart? Well, wherever that is inside of you, he's praying for that little space that they're going to be enlightened. I think it's the deepest of deep. It's where you feel and where you know. It's where you understand the deepest of deep. You know. That's what he's praying, that it'll be enlightened. "In order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the richest glory, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his people, and his incomparably great power for those of us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms." And we're going to talk about that a little bit more later. But right now, I want us to go to this verse right here. And it says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened." So we're verse 18. Okay, you with me? I pray. that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that you may know. I want to talk about this word, know. Sometimes you know something, and then sometimes you know something. I have watched on the Discovery Channel a television show about dolphins. I know from watching this show quite a bit about dolphins because I was paying attention. But I have a friend who's been to the ocean and has swam with dolphins. He knows dolphins better than I know dolphins. You understand what I'm saying here right now, right? Okay, I've heard things that have been explained to me, but then I've also experienced things, right? Are you with me? You know what I'm saying? I have watched my mom have heart surgery. She had heart surgery. There's a little bit difference in knowing and experiencing and knowing and understanding. You understand why y'all with me on this? Everybody kind of nodding here. So this is what he wants us to know. He wants us to know what? What does he want us to know? He wants us to know the hope. I want to talk about the word hope for a second. What hope is something that's some change for the better. We're wanting change for the better. Our lives may be awesome. Many of us have a really good life right now, but most of us, just like about what I mentioned a minute ago, we could have a better life. And I'm not talking about more stuff. A lot of times people think, well, a better life means more stuff or newer stuff or bigger stuff or shiner stuff. It's not about stuff. Our hope is not about stuff, but it's about joy. I could use more joy. I could use less anxiety. Okay? I could use more love. I could use less fear. I have hope for more love. I have hope. I want things to be different. I want things to change. And I want things to change in my heart, in my mind, in my life. I want to have deeper relationships with friends. I want to be a more loyal and faithful person. I'm hoping for change, even though I've been blessed, right? Have you been blessed? We've been blessed, but I'm still, and Paul wants you to have hope. He's not saying hope is bad. It doesn't mean you're not thankful for what you have. It just means that you know that in God, He wants even more for you. Have you ever thought about this? God wants more for you than you want for you. You think you're a selfish person because you want more? No, you might be a selfish person because you don't share. But nobody wants more for you than God. He wants more for you. So He wants you to have hope. So in the deep part of you, you want to have hope, okay? But then, even more, His incomparably great power. I want everybody to say power. Incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same mighty strength that He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead. We're going to move on to this next slide and then go back. Paul uses four different words five times in this one sentence. Four different words for power. Do you think he's trying to get something across here? Four different Greek words, all meaning power, dunamis. Where do you think the English word for dynamite, power, okay? Energion, the word for energy, means work. The power to work, to get something done. Kratos, the idea of strength, like physical. This is more like physical strength. And then Iskus, it's also strength, but it's more the ability to do something. We have some pretty strong musicians in the back, don't we? Amen. They have the power. This girl in the front has this powerful voice, right? power. There's that kind of power. He's asking for this, the power, the ability. So he's saying he wants you to have the power in your life. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. All over the world today, we're celebrating the resurrection. All over the world, we're celebrating the resurrection. What God wants us to know and what Paul is praying for, that he wants that resurrection to happen to you. He wants you to claim the resurrection for yourself. Now, he is guaranteed certain about your eternity. You're going to heaven. You know why? Jesus died for you. But now what he says even more, he's praying that you will grasp, that you will understand that deep down in your heart, you have power to live life today. April 1st. No fooling. That was a joke there. Did you get that? Guess Steve got that. April, he wants you to live with power today. Woo! That's what I want. Problem is, I don't feel very powerful. Watched my Kansas Jayhawks bite the dust last night. It was painful for if you're a basketball fan at all. Painful. Painful. No power. We had no power. Villanova had all the power. But in my life, sometimes I don't feel very powerful. There's things I want to do, and I just don't have the energy. I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability. These very words Paul's using, I don't have it. It just doesn't say I don't have it. I want to do things that are good. Whew. And the best I get is a nap. I mean, I feel like a man. Got another, right, Brad? So here's the deal. I love God, but I lose too often to temptation. Some of you got some temptation stuff going on in your closet, and you think, man, I don't want to do that again. And then the next day you think, man, I don't want to do that again. Yeah. Or it's just the opposite. You say, I really need to do this today. I really need to do this today. And the next day, I should have done that yesterday. Yeah, I'm losing to temptation too much. Also, I love my neighbor. I love my neighbor, but I'm selfish. This is sort of a conflict here inside my heart. I love my neighbor, but I love me a little bit more. That's it. I love my time. That's my time. I like to spend my time doing things for me, you know? And I love my money. I don't have much, but what I have is mine. I want to take care of me, buy stuff for me. Or if I do want to buy stuff for you, I want to buy something for you that makes me feel good. You know, that's the other thing. I want to when I'm unselfish, I want to feel good about it. Think about that. That was pretty profound right there. Kind of deep. And energy. Come on, man. I only have so much energy every day, and I got to work. Yeah, I got to work. And then when I get home, I don't want to. I'm tired. Yeah. I trust God. But I fear my life situations might leave me sad and alone. I don't feel very powerful. I don't feel resurrection power. What's the deal? What's going on here? I need resurrection power. Here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for life. I'm looking for energy. You know where I see life in this church a lot of times? It's up here in the front row. Not the front row that's here right now, but the front row that was here about 30 minutes ago. Do y'all ever notice the energy in some of them? Now, sometimes it's not exactly what their mom or dad wants them to be doing, but they got life. They have life. A lot of times what we, old people, what we do, we say, well, shut that down, quit doing that. But it's life. I want that kind of life. You ever think, man, I wish I had the energy I had when, yeah, I was 40. Some of you thinking, 40? Man, that's old. Isaac's thinking, 40? I'll be dead by the time I'm 40. I want life and love. Man, in my relationships, I want love. I want this kind of love that's just sort of unspoken. And I feel it from some of you. And you feel it among each other, but not always. Sometimes it's just hard. You know, some people are hard to love. And maybe I'm one of them. You know, think about that though, really. I love being loved by Bradley. Amen? Sometimes Bradley gets a little too lovey. And you know what? I love that. Okay? Well, I'm okay. Man, we got some guys that about this tall that just run around. I love them too. Love. I want life and love, and I want passion and purpose. I want to wake up feeling like I'm here for a reason. I woke up today and I have a reason to live. And passion is something that's sometimes easily spent and wasted. So I want some direction in my passion. I was talking about passion this morning. I have the passion to sing Kerry Job's song forever. I don't have the gift. Okay? Sometimes my passion is not backed up by my ability. So I want passion that has purpose. I want to be able to say, I'm going to give myself to this behavior, this action, this relationship, and it's going to pay off. And this is what I believe Paul is praying for. This kind of power, resurrection power, changes us. It changes us. There's a part of us who would say, I can't do it, and it changes us to say, no, I'm going to try. This is a change that resurrection power says, I can't do that. It's too big. It's too hard. It's too difficult. It changes us to a person who says, I'm going to try. I haven't done that before, but I'm going to try. This is what I have seen in Katrina and in her posts, in her blogs about Kung Fu. Am I calling it the right thing? There's so many of those arts, you know. Not bad, huh? My natural. But you know, there was a time where you couldn't. But now you said, I'm going to try. This is something that happens in the eyes of your heart. I want you to be enlightened to the power that can change from being a person who says, transforms me from a person who says, I can't, to yes, I can. Some of us have been hurt. And the next, it says, transforms and protects. I want to cross out the word protects on the thing. Maybe you didn't even write protects yet. And instead, I want to use the word overcomes. Resurrection power overcomes. You know, Jesus wasn't protected from death, was he? He overcame death. That's the kind of power I need is it's going to not just protect me, it's going to overcome. And so sometimes it happens in this way. I need to forgive somebody, but I don't want to, and I don't think I can because I don't have the strength. I don't have the power. I don't have the ability. I don't have the passion. I don't have the purpose. I don't want to do that. I need to overcome that. I need power in my life to overcome it. So Paul's praying for that kind of power. Now, here's the deal. The resurrection happens in this way, the resurrection power. I want to go back to the very beginning of this prayer. Paul uses this phrase three times in Ephesians for this reason, okay? It's in verse 15. He says, for this reason I pray for you. What reason? What's the reason behind the prayer? Well, this has kind of become a mantra for some of us, something that we really have settled down on, this truth that's in the first half of Ephesians 1. So if we went back and looked at the first 14 verses, it's summed up, those first 14 verses are summed up in what's coming next. But what you think about, why am I praying this prayer that you'll have resurrection power? Because I am basing that on this foundation.
Our default position as strugglers is to believe that God's disappointed and frustrated. That He simply is tolerating us. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1 says, no. Before the foundation of the earth was laid, he was going to adopt you, make you holy and blameless in his sight. So whether difficult days or good days, God's at work. God has not abandoned you in this difficult season.
How amazing does that make our God, that in our hypocrisy, he's long-suffering with us. In our inability to live out all that he would call us to, he continues to lavish upon us his grace. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. So I love this word lavish, extravagant, plentiful, over the top. And so now when the Bible's talking about forgiveness, it's saying that his grace in forgiveness is lavish, like it's too much, like it's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous amount, right? It's weight, it's over the top. It's out of control. Man of woman of God in Christ but struggling, God does not regret saving you. He doesn't regret it. You haven't surprised him. You cannot surprise him. God is not watching where you are now, watching how you've struggled this week, watching how you stumble and fall, and regretting the decision to pay the price for you in full. You have no sin, past, present, and future, that has more power than the cross of Jesus Christ. None. This means that your salvation wasn't just a past event alone, but that Christ even now is continuing to save you. He didn't forgive your past sins and now leaving it up to you to conquer present and future sins, which means it doesn't matter how you came in here. It means God can rescue. It means God can save. And it means for those of us who are in Christ, you do not disgust him. You do not discuss it. You don't know what I struggle with and how deplorable it is. I know that Jesus would say that he paid the bill in full, and so what you're saying is nonsense. That is the grace with which he lavished on us in his forgiveness.
Say amen. So this prayer for power is based on the fact of God's love and God's forgiveness. And so where it is for us now to claim it, it's his gift, his love. He says, I've loved you. I've done my deal. Now I want you to live it out. So how do we do that? How do we claim that power? Because I need some of that today. Well, step one is pray. The Ephesians 1 prayer. Why did Paul pray the prayer? This was available to them already, but he says, I'm going to pray this for you because you need help to connect to God. So you begin to pray this prayer. I'm calling it plugging in. Prayer is plugging in. I've told the story of my grandparents and my parents. My parents gave my dad's dad and mom a trash compactor for Christmas. And the trash compactor was, as you know what trash compactors do, don't you? Everybody, do it with your hands. Show me. What do you do? Yes, does that. To your trash. So they gave it to him for Christmas. We're sitting at their kitchen table in May that next year, and my dad, my grandfather, gets up to take out the trash. So he goes over to the trash compactor and he lifts up the lid. This was a portable one in those days. And he pulls out a brown paper sack full of trash, unsmashed trash. Poetic there. Unsmashed trash. Boom. And my dad says, Dad, why didn't you compact the trash? He said, what are you talking about? He says, this is a machine that when you plug it in, and push the button, the trash, it will compact the trash. And my grandfather says, plug it in. What do you mean, plug it in? He said, see right over here, there's a plug. I never noticed that plug. And this is us in the power of God. How do you plug into this resurrection power? Paul thought it was by praying. I think that's a pretty good example that we should follow. So begin praying this prayer, that God will give me the power. The power to what? The power to forgive. Some of us need power to take that first step to forgive someone who's wronged us. He's going to give us the power to maybe just endure some kind of thing that's going on, and you just need patience. How many need some patience? It's a gift. God wants to give you some patience. Pray for that. Pray for that. There's things that we need. We need to get rid of bitterness in our lives and live lives of peace and joy. How do we do that? Let's plug in. Let's pray this prayer that we could know the hope he's called us to. He wants life to change for us. We could know that hope. And then the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Raise us from the dead. There's another step. Step two. Pray it again. In other words, let's get on repeat with this prayer for a little while. Let's just do this. Let's plan to do this together for a little while. We sang earlier, and when I say we, I mean Michelle. There was a battle in the grave. And the war on death was waged. And it wasn't just death. It was death. It was pain. It was fear. It was worry. It was suffering. It was anger. It was hatred. Jesus waged war in the grave for all these things. And so he won that war. And now he's waiting for us. He's hoping for us. He's wanting us to ask him for more. And he wants to give it. We're going to sing the song Oceans. And this is a prayer as well. And I want you to think of the lyrics of this song as a prayer that you're asking God that we'll go deeper and farther than we've ever been with God. So let's stand and sing this song as sort of a response, our own prayer, as we take this step of asking God for resurrection power in our lives.